Yes, it is. Praise God forevermore. We thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us this evening. We thank you, Father, for your presence. And Lord, we thank you that we are striving to be more in your presence every day, every hour, every minute, Lord. Thank you, Father, for being our God, being the Father that we always needed. And thank you, Father, for leading us and guiding us and giving us the revelations out of your word, peeling back that flesh from us, Lord, like an onion. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you that tonight's not going to be any different. We're going to have an awesome time with you. And it's going to be a great and wonderful 2 hour or hour and a half. No, 2 hours. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers, too. We praise you, Father, that every time we open our mouth in prayer to you, you listen and carry through with them, Lord, because your promises are almighty. They are there for us. We know it. We've got the faith to believe because you gave us the faith to believe. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Well, I'm going to pray. Then y'all can pray if you want to. We're in a war with the deep state. And I hope y'all are vigilant and doing the praying against the deep state because that's what's going to bring it down. So, Father, we do. We just thank you for all that you're doing by bringing down the corrupt government officials in this United States and all over the world, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, for putting this man Trump in there and your complete protection upon him, Lord. We thank you for your warrior angels round about him and your shield of protection all around him, Father. Him and his family, all of his family. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are out there right now bringing down the deep state governments in every country, all the way down to the local level, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Father, for the immigrants that are in this country, that you've already exposed them for what they're doing to this country, and that you're getting them out of here, helping them get them out of here, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for leading Director Homie, I believe his name is. Thank you, Father, for leading him and guiding him and giving him the strength and the wherewithal to get every one of them. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that we've got a president that you've given a backbone to that stands up to these corrupt leftists all over the world. And, Father, we thank you that he doesn't take no for an answer. He's going to get what's best for all of us, and we praise you for that, Father, and let him be a model for everybody else, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your shield of protection around all of his cabinet that are doing the work that you want done, and we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, I know some of them are Christians, and they seek you for advice and direction, and that is awesome, and I praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
We cast down these principalities and rulers of darkness. We cast Satan down that are behind the deep state. They're the ones that are driving them, so we come against them. We bind them with fetters and chains in the name of Jesus. We send the angels. We send Michael and all his army that's with him, just like it says in Revelation 12. And we just declare that there is victory. God, you always win, and your angels always win. They have nothing over the principalities and rulers of darkness have nothing over your angels of light, true light, expose all the darkness, the false light in the name of Jesus. bring down all the lies, lying spirits, all the pedophile spirits, all the LGBTQ spirits. We command them, the angels, to go and arrest them and bind them in fetters. All the spirits that are driving all the criminality of the illegal aliens, in the name of Jesus, we bind them in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the angels going in and binding them and putting the fear of God in them. Turn these people around, Lord, that we pray, Lord, that any repentant, any of your elect among them, that they would repent, Lord, and that they would see, Lord, that if they want to be in this country, they have to do it the right way. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for we just bind all principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places that would give wrong influence to any of President Trump's cabinet. And we just command, we bind all the spirits that would try and keep any of his appointees being confirmed, Lord, as long as they are part of your will, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. All the ones that you want to be in there will be in there, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for victory over the deep state criminals and principalities and rulers in darkness behind them are defeated. In Jesus' mighty name, praise you, hallelujah, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Lord, we thank you for all over this world. You're bringing down these leftist Marxists and communist, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Father, that your angels are out there working and your people are out there working. The alliance, the international alliance, is working to bring them down because of the corruption and the stealing of the people's money. And we praise you and thank you for that, Father, that you're going to expose it for what it is. And bring the people down that need to be, and putting the right people in office there. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, your word is your authority, your power. It is, you stand behind your word. You hold your word up higher than even your name. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. As your children, as believers, as your weapons of war against our enemies, Father. And I thank you for filling us all up with your Holy Spirit, God. Give us all a fresh anointing, Lord, to pray the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can do that. We can find those scriptures that have to do with casting down Satan and his kingdom and taking the authority over the wicked. And even if it's just reading the word out loud, you know, the angels hearken unto the voice of your word. Help us, Lord, to be diligent about doing that and not get slack in it or slothful or what, be distracted. I know all of us have things we have to do every day, and some of us go to work and have that, Lord. But we've set aside time to be just mindful about setting aside time to pray and do some warfare and praying in the spirit a lot. Thank you, Lord, for that gift, because it's very powerful and the enemy hates it. And I just remembered I remember a dream that Sandy Shaw had about bluffing. It's on the website if you go to the dreams and visions and look up bluffing demons or something like that. One of the tactics of the enemy was to keep us from praying. I don't know if you remember that, some of you folks, but there's a dream on there that the devil would do all kinds of things. And
what's the name of it?
Bluffing demons. I could find it and put a link in the chat. talking
okay,
to demons.
That'd be great.
That they hinder. They want to hinder us and keep us from praying. That's part of their job. They got people. They got spirits that are sent out there just to keep us from trying, you know, to do our jobs and praying. So Lord, help us to be diligent and faithful, to do what you've given us to do in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because we all have, things. We have responsibilities. We have other things, and we have to help, you know, prioritize our own lives, you know, help us to do that, but to be diligent about setting aside time to be doing our warfare for you, whether it's, you know, even in the middle of the night. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've given us and the time you've given us and what you're doing through Donald Trump. I thank you, Lord, for always keeping a hedge of protection around him and his family and those who are serving with him and the people that he has appointed. And Lord, I pray also that I think there's three people this week that are supposed to be, of his people that he's appointed, they're supposed to be confirmed. I bind the devils that would try to vote against their appointments in the name of Jesus, that they are not going to win. Thank you, Lord, that every person that Donald Trump appoints, they're going to be confirmed. And it'll be a landslide in the, just a huge gap in the yeses and the noes on that, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for doing that. Nothing can stop what you began, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Boy, Headseth, if it hadn't been for J.D. Vance, he wouldn't have made it, would he? All right, Teresa.
So I was listening to a video featured on Raytheon, and it talked about the people working for Trump that were locating the something like 300,000 kids that have come into the country that have been trafficked. And they've rescued about 75,000. I'm not getting the numbers right, but we need those kids. God wants those kids. God wants those kids saved. God wants those kids taken care of. And, we need to protect God needs to protect the people that are rescuing those kids, getting them to safety. Getting them out of the system that traffics them, all the different so-called, systems that are supposed to be child protective services that are just trafficking them and et cetera. So, I'm not quite, the only thing that I can think to say is God save your kids. So I'd rather have you pray concerning that, and I'll agree with you.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, just like she was talking about, there are kids that have been trafficked, as you know, and we thank you, Father, that your people, that you've got designed to go after these kids and the people who put them in that state, Lord, I ask and I pray that you lead them and guide them right straight to them. And set those children free, those that can be set free. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that every child will be accounted for before it's over with. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, if there's other people that need to be out there hunting for these kids, that you would put it in their hearts, Lord, to go after them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. I know there's quite a number going after them now. But, Lord, there's a lot of kids that have been missing over the years. Ever since before the milk carton thing started years ago, they've trafficked millions of kids. And, Father, I thank you that now we're going to stop this garbage. Yeah. You're going to stop it. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Mm-hmm. We break the power of the enemy off of this bunch. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name, and I command you to stand down and cease your activity against this human trafficking garbage in Jesus' name. You stop it right now in the name of Jesus. And you bow your knees to Jesus right now. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. It's done. Praise God. Anybody else? Every child be set free. Every human that's been trafficked, be set free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Some of the horrendous things that they do. Okay, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I was just, sorry, I'm bouncing through my screens here. I was just reminded of the scripture. It's obviously taken out of context because I'm not reading the whole thing, but the concept or the principle is there, and that's in Matthew 10:26. Fear them not, therefore, and it has to do with persecution and whatever people of God being persecuted in this attack and warfare. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. And become aware of the significance. It's always been on my mind. How were these, in the last 4 years, there had been caravan after caravan after caravan, and these people were coming across our border in hordes, but they were coming across, most of them in flip-flops and, the shirt on their back and a bottle of water and maybe a backpack or something like that. Now, you have to logically think about, if these people walked from Nicaragua for the last, 2,000 miles, and they're coming across with the clothes on their back and a bottle of water and whatever, in that truck all the way up from the Nicaragua or wherever. Where did they stop? Where did they eat? How did they, use the restroom? All of these things. Where did they stay on that? If you've ever walked a mile or two, even if they were able to walk that 2,000 miles, that's months walking up there. Anyway, I don't want to belabor the point. Nobody in the media brass, how are these people making this trip, especially the people that are coming from overseas? How are they actually getting over here and making that trip? If you are trying to escape, political persecution or governmental persecution, you're not leaving, probably your country with, a bank account of, thousands and thousands of dollars in your, your plane. How are they making that trip? Well, become realized that, read an article about the NGOs, non-governmental organizations, working through the United Nations and various other different, the Catholic Relief Fund and, all kinds of different organizations, that our government is funneling, I think, somewhere around $6 billion a year for these agencies in order to do their thing, finance their thing. And those people, those groups are instrumental in supplying the resources necessary to take care of these people and bring them up. through these countries and into the, you know, to bring them into the United States. That has nothing to do, you know, that's irrelevant or nothing to do with the cartels that are trafficking these people and, you know, that have, you know, charge these people $4,000 or $5,000 or whatever to get them safely across the border and get them across the border and get them into, you know, maybe housing or whatever. That's why all these, I believe all these cartel groups and gangs are, were coming over into the United States because they're here to collect their money. They're here to, you know, make sure they can get paid by all these people, etc. It is a whole racket and organization that is in place, but these non-governmental agent organizations have been the major financial funding of that whole operation. And so, number one, you know, this, if I read it on the you know, in a news feed of something somewhere, you can be sure that the governmental people, our people in Congress and all that, are aware of these things or whatever. So, my Father, my prayer and request, Lord, is that you would open up the eyes of the American people to be able to focus on this financial aspect, that you would bring awareness to President Trump and his administration to bring pressure, public pressure, to bring to light these things and public pressure on these non-governmental organizations and, you know, force them or at least put it back on them that if they have so much compassion to help these people get up here to fulfill their compassion obligation and finance their way back down to their own countries. So, Lord, I thank you that you tell us to that these hidden things, you tell us and what you tell us and show us in secret to breach on the housetops to bring forth this light into the world, Lord. I just, in Jesus' name, we ask, we command, send forth the angels to bring forth this revelation of this financial, the resources that have been supplied for these people to get up here and to reverse that process and bring public awareness and openness into these regarding these institutions that are really coming against the United States and trying to tear down our legal system and overload our borders and the whole thing, Lord. We stand against it right now in Jesus' name. And we also, Lord, I'd ask that you would bring to light any hidden things in these people, these leaders in Congress, these congressmen and senators that may be holding back a certain support just because of the fact that maybe things are in their background that they're trying to keep hidden. Lord, I would ask that you would utilize that in their lives, or you would bring it to light and take the attack back against these people that are trying to tear down our country, tear down this nation from even the leadership position. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us authority to stand against these things. We bind these spirits that are motivating these people. We cast them down right now. We command freedom We command clarity of seeing and understanding. We command the light to shine into that darkness and to bring this the strength of that darkness down to the ground right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yep. We praise you, Father, for doing everything he prayed. Thank you, Lord. We know that this prayer will be answered. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Who's next? How about a little war music? Yeah, Teresa.
I got one more prayer request.
Okay.
My daughter-in-law, Christina, she, about 2 years ago, had taken care of her mom, who had taken the shot, the bioweapon shot, and got turbo cancer as well as every other malady that the shots produced. And Christina and her sisters, but Christina was the main one that took care of her mom. And so she's been transfected 2 years later, and she's having health problems. And so I would like God to purify, you know, all the, you know, bioweapons and all the chemicals and, you know, whatever else is involved, in her healing, you know, that God knows about. And my son, Jesse, her husband, he's got a really heavy workload. I mean, he's working 10-hour days. He's driving, you know, I don't know. I didn't ask him how many. It's about 100-mile round trip, you know, to get to work. And he drives with his company. So, you know, he drives with his boss. And so, you know, just that God would intervene in these situations and make life better for them, give them the healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, righteously, you know, walking righteous paths, you know, and Jesse, I mean, he's got just the stamina and the strength to do that, you know, that God would, which he's been doing, you know, he's been having the strength and stamina to do it, but that God would work in him to, you know, just make, you know, make things better for him and give him the strength and the stamina to do what he's doing and to keep him safe on those roads during these winter things. You know, we're having nice weather now. You know, it's going to be 50, I think, tomorrow. So we're having nice weather now, but, you know, this is January. We still have February, March. So, you know, that God would intervene in their behalf and just fix everything. Bless them. And I've got good news about Terry. Terry's, you know, I called, you know, Terry, you know, he comes from Victoria to see his kids, you know, every Monday, Sunday, Monday, you know, as, you know, weather permitting. And so I got to say hi to the kids yesterday. It was wonderful. So, okay. So,
praise God.
That was it.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for doing everything she said for Jesse and Terry. Father, we just thank you for opening up your heavens for both of them and their families. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you'd place it in their hearts to run after you with all of their hearts. And Lord, we thank you because when they do that, things will start turning around for them in a mighty way. Father, we thank you for a mama that just prays for them all the time. And Lord, we know that you have your hand upon them, and that they are coming into the kingdom at the right moment. And I praise you, Father, that when they come in, they're going to be mighty men and women of God their whole throughout their whole family. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for trying to find Jesse another job that's close to home that pays more than what he's making now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Jesse. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for Terry, that you're going to change the family life in his life also, Lord, that he'd be able to see his children when he wants to. And we praise you for that, Lord. And not only that, Lord, we thank you for changing the hearts of his wife too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing all of these things that Teresa needs for her family. And Lord, I ask that you bring both of them down here. Terry, does he live close?
He lives in western Kansas. I live in eastern Kansas.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for getting a good job for him over here by Mama. That'd be awesome. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And all the glory would go to you, I'm sure, for doing that for Terry. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, Benjamin.
Hey, everybody. Well, I'm going to ask for prayer for my sister again. She's getting real pregnant now, and she's on pretty much the last couple of weeks. I'm thinking one more month, and it's going to pop out of her. And lately, she's just having a hard time sleeping and all that. It just dawned on me right now that she's not going to a hospital to when she goes into labor. She's going to I forget the word she used.
It was midwife.
She's using a midwife, and there's an establishment where it's just all they do is just baby stuff. They do labor and they do all that. They're not a hospital, and so that's something that I definitely agreed with. And but my mom's always putting on the what ifs. You know, she's a worrier. That's what I call her, a worrier, not a worrier. And you know, I can understand why, but I don't want any of that mindset going into my sister. Birthing center, yes. Birthing center, that is exactly what they're called. And I want to pray for that. I want to pray that she just keeps all the ifs, ands, and buts out of her mind. So I'll get it started. Lord, I thank you so much for my sister, and I thank you so much for bringing Zach back to her. Zach's back, by the way, everybody. I don't know if we've mentioned that before. Zach's back at home. All the legal stuff is done, and she signed the paperwork saying it's okay for him to be there. And so now they're a happy family right now.
Okay.
Happy family. Great. So thank you, God, for that. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for doing that, bringing them together. And Father God, I just want to pray a divine protection over that child, over anything that's happened in the events that happened during the pregnancy. I just pray that none of the demons or any spirits fall onto that child. No generational curses, and no curses at all whatsoever fall upon that child. Thank you, Father, for bringing a new life into this world. And Father God, I pray an easy labor for my sister, that she's not going to need no pain medication. She's going to be able to do the birthing process the way she wants to. And she's going to be able to get through this and have a happy labor with a happy baby and a happy wife and a happy husband. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for every one of those miracles. In Amen. Jesus' name. Amen.
And just the basic prayer of fighting distracting demons. Lord, this is a constant thing. And we understand that these demons are doing their job and they're going to fail because we know you win every single time. Thank you, Father, for the tests. Thank you, Father, for the trials. And thank you, Father, for the humbling. Thank you, Father, for putting us where we need to be. Thank you, Father, for giving us authority over all these demons. Thank you so much, Father, for winning for us. Thank you, Father. By your scars, all our iniquities are cleansed. Thank you, Father. By your scars, thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Did you want to say something, Julie, about what he's talking about?
Yeah, I just want to add on a little bit. Heavenly Father, thank you for Ben and Megan's mom. And I understand that worry that she may have, you know, not going through the hospital and all that kind of stuff. I pray, Father, that you would just overwhelm her with assurance of how babies are born and that she was there and she didn't have any problems. And we just bind up all those spirits of stress, anxiety, and worry and fears. And we command those demons that are speaking such things to her to be shut up, gagged, that they can't talk to her anymore in the name of Jesus. Bind them up, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, for doing a quick work in their mom, Lord, and just in helping her to see that you are in control, that you'll give her revelation or something that Megan will say to her mom, just saying, I'm at perfect peace about doing this way. They have everything that I'm going to need, and whatever it is that she needs to hear from her daughter, it will satisfy her, and that you'll give her the words to speak to her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. I've got a word that Debbie got the other night, Ben, that's going to go right into what you were praying against, this distraction, and it's very important that we listen this time. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
Father, I just joined in with Julie's prayer there and just ask that you would allow and bring forth the peace of Christ in her heart and the peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for that and for Teresa's family that has had this COVID shot or this vaccine or whatever. We bind those spirits that are motivating and stirring that whole thing up. And in the name of Jesus, we stand against and we bind the symptoms of that that COVID shot right now. In Jesus' name, we cast it down and we command healing in her body right now, and her all of those of her family that have had that shot, we command healing based upon your stripes, Lord. The stripes of Jesus that we have all been healed by. And we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you and thank you for the victory that you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, Teresa, go ahead.
Well, I want to praise Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ that none of my family had the shots, not one of my kids, not one of their spouses, and not one of my grandkids. However, it was my daughter-in-law, Christina, that had taken care of her mom who had had the shot. And there's a transvection that goes on from being around vaccinated people. So I think I'm suspecting that's what Christina has been suffering from. And so, because she's had health problems. So anyway, but we've prayed. And and I prayed before I came on Zoom. I prayed for her, and she accepted the prayer. And God's anointing rose up, so God's hearing it. And so, now what was I going to... Oh, I wanted to give... reassurance, when my mom, was pregnant with me, my dad had gone to work and he had the only car. And so my mom had me at home when she didn't plan to have me at home. And, she did just fine. And there, she had no help and she did just fine. Okay. So then I had my three kids. Okay, the first two The first one was the normal birth. The second one, no drugs, in the hospital. The third one, I decided I'm going to have my last one at home, Jossie at home. And I didn't know that my mom had me at home until after I had Jossie at home, and then my sister told me about it. And so when I had Jossie at home, I had a midwife. And I just out of the blue said, I'm not having nothing to do with hospital birth, you know. I'm going to have a normal, natural birth, and we're going to bond the way we're supposed to bond. And so I did just fine. No drugs, nothing. Just one midwife.
Awesome.
It's not an impossible thing to do. People can do it.
Well,
so I just wanted to give that reassurance.
They've been doing it out of way since Adam and Eve.
Yep.
Without much trouble. And they're doing it over in third world countries all the time. Okay. Anyone else? Hey, Debbie, did you want to tell about the word that the Lord gave you? Or did you want me to do it? Oh,
yes.
She took off.
Can you, oops. Yes, can you read it?
Yeah, I'll do it. No problem. I thought you just took off on me. Okay. This is the word.
Wrong thing, sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead and mute yourself so you won't talk.
Sorry.
Oh, you know what I did at one time when I kept forgetting that? I put me a big old sign up there. Mute yourself, Michael. All the time. I did it for a while because I kept forgetting it. I did just like you did. Okay, let's see. Not that you do it all the time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to insinuate you did that. But don't do it again. Let's see here. Let me see. Okay, it's called It's Up to You, and this was on the 24th of this month by Debbie. And it says, on the 24th of this month, I was walking and listening to an audio of David's. He made a statement about putting idols away from us. And so I said, yes, Lord, no idols. I said that I resolved to stop putting my time before his time, which is what the Lord has been dealing with me in. Then I heard the Lord say, it's up to you. Don't think that you can do this at the last minute, because no, you can't. I have spoken this many times before. I will not speak to my people on this anymore, to my people who know better. The last minute is almost here. And you know this. If you wait till the last minute, you will miss being in my bride. Are you taking this seriously? The time is now. It has always been now. How it must affect a husband when his bride is not spending her spare time with her lover, but spending it on things she loves more than him. And how it must affect a bride when her husband is not spending his spare time with his bride, but spending it on things he loves more than her. What happens? They are not giving and receiving love and life. The relationship is dying. They fall away from each other because there is no common bond of love. So many of my people are killing their relationships with me because their love is in other things, people, and ways of this world. I have called you. Many I have tried to woo to me, but I'm ignored. And I say to all my dear ones, take to heart what I am saying to you. Be a bride unto me. Search your heart. the last minute is here. There's no more time after that. Pull away from the worldly temptations. Come to me. Let us run together. I see us running together. My darling, see it and run. Enjoy my love more than the sweetest of wines. How can anything or anyone else be sweeter than the wine I long to share with you? How is it that there can be anything more pleasant to you than our love together? Let me hear you say to me, your lover, draw me unto thee and we will run together. My longing is for my bride and our future together. You know who you are. For we have shared sweet love together. There's so much more in store. Do not fall away from our love and what there is yet before us for lesser things. That's all of it. Well, Lord God, I ask and I pray that we would take this message to all of us here to heart, that nothing or nobody would distract us from coming to you on a daily basis to learn what it is that you have for us and to spend that time of love with you, Lord, and to find out what it is to have that type of relationship with you, Lord. And I bind up the enemy on each of our lives right now that would try to keep us and steer us away from doing the things that we need to do in order to be the bride that Jesus wants. And Father God, I praise you and I glorify you that everybody here in this room and the ones listening would take this message to heart. He said this is the last time he's going to warn. Lord, let it be that we don't have to be warned again, that we would just run to you and surrender everything to you, Father, and just be that bride that you want us to be. Thank you, Father, for doing that for everybody here. In the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Has anybody got any comments or anybody got any thing they need to confess? I just confess right now, Lord, I thank you for telling us this. I confess that I have been distracted by the enemy, that it's going to be gone from this point on with your help, Lord. And I just ask that you place it in our hearts, Lord. Nothing would detract us from being with you most of the time. In a personal, real life relationship with you, Lord. Just like the other day, Lord, you know, when I felt your presence and then you healed me. Lord, that same closeness is what we all desire. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody got any comments or any prayer or anything they want to do? Say. Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, I'd like to pray too. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us Jesus and for choosing us and giving us this opportunity to be in your bride. And Lord Jesus, you are still our first love. And help us, Lord, to treat you as such because you're worthy. There's nothing in this world that can compare to who you are and the relationship we have with you, starting in this world, here on earth, but what we have awaiting for us in eternity, but it begins here. So Lord, help us by your grace and your strength to say no to our flesh, to say no to the distractions, to recognize them, and to seek you with all of our hearts, Lord, to really press in to you, to really seek you, and to know you as you know us. You know us intimately, Lord, and we want to know your heart. And it's through your word, it's by your spirit, and spending time with you. So thank you, Lord, for giving us such grace and such, you're so patient with all of us, Lord. You know, we're so stubborn and self-willed and so easily distracted by the enemy and our flesh and things that entertain our eyes or whatever. Or put a watch over our ears and our eyes, Lord, that we can just not even want that anymore, that it has no draw on us. It's not even a temptation for us anymore. Lord, just take that off our hearts, that you would fill our hearts, that our desire would be of you. And, you know, what, Debbie, after I read that, one of the things that the Lord gave me was, he had me read Psalm 37 in verse 4. It says, where you, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And Lord, we only want you to be the desires of our heart. And if you're the desire of our heart, we're going to have everything. So we just thank you, Lord, for being our all in all, our everything. You are our everything, and help us, Lord, to just walk away from all this other stuff and know that this is it. This is it. This is days. It's not weeks and months and years anymore. It's going to be days. How close we are for your coming. In Jesus' name, I thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Debbie.
I just want to say how convicted I was when I first started hearing that, because I knew that he was, you know, speaking right to, every time there is something, it's always speaking right to me first, always. And I'm just so convicted about that. And I've been going back and forth on that with the Lord. And okay, I'm going to start them there this time. And just, you try, and me anyway, I try, and I'll put things down and I'm gonna spend time in the Word, and what happens? I don't know, I felt the ding off on the phone or something, a thought, you know, get up and go on and go do other things. And I'm doing them for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. And I get, okay, I'll get back to the Lord now. It's like, it doesn't work that way. Okay, God, I'm done now. So I'm going to come back to you now. It's like, I was just so convicted of that. So convicted of that. What a way to treat the Lord, you know, I just was so convicted. And so I'm just confessing that, and I'm praying that God's going to, I know he's going to help me just to stay on the course and put him first and stick with it. Stick with it.
Amen.
With his Father, he didn't let anything take him away. And we can do the same thing, and I can do the same thing. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. The enemy is very, very subtle in that regard. You know, those thoughts that come up in your mind, and they're not thoughts that you've got. These are thoughts that the enemy puts on you. You know, well, you need to go down and do this. You need to go down and do that and get that taken care of. And then you come up here and spend quality time with him, you know.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then 5 hours later, you know.
We make it up to you, Lord, yeah.
Yeah, we'll make
he
it
does
up
that
to
with me, too. You got all afternoon. You can do this later. Oh, God.
I
don't want to fall for that anymore.
I know. Well, we don't need to fall for that anymore. He's warning us now. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, let's play some music. Let's play some war music. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right, let me give you some. There you go. You got it.
Prayed up and for battle. We are hell's worst nightmare. Bringing down enemy strongholds with the power of prayer. Stand up, prayer warriors. You are on the front lines. Stand up, faith fighters, army of the end times. Stand up and never back down. Stand up and stand your ground. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against evil in the spiritual realm. The gates of hell shall not prevail with Messiah at the helm. Stand up, prayer warriors, you are on the front lines. Stand up, faith fighters, army of the end times. Stand up and never back down. Stand up and stand your ground. In covenant with the Most High, fighting by faith and not by sight. We know the battle has already been won because he gave his only begotten son. Alert and on guard against every attack. We stand firm in faith against the enemy. Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace, is our commander-in-chief, leading us to victory. Stand up, prayer warriors, you are on the front lines. Stand up, faith fighters, army of the end times. Stand up, never back down. Stand up and stand your ground. Never back down. Stand up and stand your ground.
Clap your hands, all you people. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Here we go.
My, what a wonderful song. All right. Anybody got anything else?
Can I say something?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I thought when listening to that song, just realizing, God wants us to be so free with, you know, we feel we're free when we're praising God like this with a song like this. And we feel we're free. We're praising God and we're free now. But he's saying that, and we get obedient to all these things he's telling us to do, and we're doing them, and it doesn't have to take any time at all. Just to do them. Just do them. That's what he's saying to me. Just do them. It doesn't have to take any time at all. And you'll be free. You'll know what the freedom is, because you'll be free and you'll be praising me like this out of your own free will all the time. Not just because there's a song on, but you're going to be free and praising out of true freedom. And I thought, wow, that's what I want. I want that true freedom that's there all the time, because we know, because I know I'm doing
glory to God.
I'm obedient to him, doing the will of God every moment. And when you falter, you know, we're free too, because we know we're sincere and are going back to him in repentance. He's forgiven and we're going to plow on again. So, and that's what he wants of us. And he wants us in that, to know that we are in that freedom, that we've never really known
Amen.
Before. So.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I don't know if any of us have really experienced that closeness to God that he wants. And which would, can y'all hear me? Andrew's acting like, okay, that he walks with us in the kingdom. That closeness that those people in heaven have with him, he wants that same closeness with us here, so that we can do his work here by his guidance, by his direction, and by his love for the people. He's doing this for the love of the people, this thing coming up. And he needs some people that he can trust to do the job what he tells them to do, and not get distracted from something else or what he's told us to do. I'm going to pray a prayer of repentance, and if this pertains to you, receive it. And let's go on from this point on and do what he wants us to do. Father God, I ask you for your forgiveness in my life, to forgive me for the distractions, the needless distractions. And I ask, Father God, that you help me to stay true to what you want out of me, and to be able to fulfill this whole walk that you've already designated for me to walk. And Lord, I thank you for doing that. I thank you for taking me by the hand, and I can see you right now in my imagination taking my hand and lead me and guide me into the ways, glory to God, guide us into the ways that you want us to go, Lord, and to do the things and to be honest with ourselves, that we will do the things that you've asked us to do. I've got a sheet of paper in there, Lord, what you told me to do, and I try to check them off, but they're not all checked off, and that's the reason of the distraction. But Father God, with your grace and your mercy with me, we'll get it completed. Not only get it completed, Lord, we'll do more than what you've asked us to do. Because we'll want to make you happy in our walk with you, Lord. And I ask that for everybody here, Lord. I do. I ask it for everyone here, Lord, that you would guide them, guide all of us into the realms of your kingdom, to do the things in your kingdom, from your kingdom, for your glory here on earth. And I praise you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us. Because we're your hands, we're your feet, we're your mouth here on earth. And Father God, place those words in us to speak only as an oracle of you and to stop the nonsense. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us. In Jesus' name, praise you, Father God. We have people on here, on earth, that we are supposed to be responsible for. And we have to hold tight to the things that you've told us to do in order to bring other people into the kingdom. And Father God, I thank you for being our standard before us. And I praise you, Father, for making us that special bride that you want. And that man-child ministry, some of those that are here. And I praise you and I thank you, Father, for keeping our eyes on you and during this next little bit so that we could help many, many people in the days ahead. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Anybody receive that? In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. I do. I just receive it, Lord. I praise you for it. Glory be to God. Amen. Okay. All right, Pat. You're up.
I was thinking of that scripture. I don't remember where it's at now, but and I kind of try to recite it from the King James Version because that's the one I remember. But Jesus said that unless a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. And I was reminded of a situation when I first became a Christian. And there was a flurry of activity that happened there. When I became a Christian, we were baptized one week. And a couple of weeks later, we were married, and, you know, my wife and I were married. And so there's a whole bunch of things that happened, and I was, the Lord was taking me. I mean, I was on fire for God. I was like wholeheartedly on fire, chasing down Jesus, you know. And it was just like, the Lord, you know, clearly pointed out to me, this is the path I want you to go down. I want you to head this direction. And I bailed in with both feet, or full heart, I guess you might say. And one of the very first things that happened a few months later, maybe a year later, I was working for myself in the construction, you know, construction type of work, And the Lord has shown me, a lot of things. I was in a, a non-spirit-filled church, because that's where the Lord led me into. And so listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and asking him to guide me in a certain situation speak to me so I know how to do this and that. That was kind of a foreign concept in that particular group that I was in. And so I kind of had to, that's not really what I want to speak about. I was so uncontrolled with unbudgeted, handling my money that I had no guidance, no control, I couldn't even tell you how to spell budget, let alone use one. And I never even bothered thinking about it. And money would come in and I would spend it on this. And basically, though I wasn't a bad person, in the eyes of the world, if I didn't have money to pay a bill or whatever, I just wouldn't pay it, and I would, just a whole thing about stewardship and money there. Well, the Lord took me down a path and I ended up slowly but surely over the process of a month or couple months or maybe 6 months, getting broker and going basically down the tubes. And I remember it was terrifying because I was losing. I was going down the path. I was heading for bankruptcy, if that could, be possible in that time. I didn't really have anything to go bankrupt on, but anyway, I was going down the tubes, and there was such a tremendous fear and anxiety and, what am I going to do? And, mix that with the things that I was learning about God's provision, God's supply, and God's, supply by faith and what we need and this and that. Yet on the other hand, I was going down the tubes. And it was such a stressful, and I went through a time where I got my pickup truck repossessed because I couldn't pay the bill, and yet my livelihood depended upon my being able to use my vehicle to do my jobs, etc. And that got repossessed, and it was just one step after the other, getting worse and worse and worse. And then we basically got evicted out of our house. We were renting a house anyway, but we couldn't pay the bill, and I think it was when that notice came in from our landlord that we had to move, and I had to move, and I had to had a kid, my wife, we just had a baby, so our child was maybe 6 months old or whatever, and here I was, without a vehicle, without a job, without house. And I don't know that I could have got any farther to the bottom. But I remember when I hit bottom and it dawned on me, you can't get any lower right now. You can't get any lower. And I get emotional when I even think of it, but there was such a release of pressure because I knew that I knew the Lord. I knew that God had a hold of my life. And I knew I couldn't, I don't know that I could have fallen any lower with, in any words of a condition. And there was such a peace that flooded into my heart, knowing that only God can take care of me now. And I just, you know, gave myself to him. I don't remember specifically with any great moment of, you know, yielding over my life or this or that, but I just, it was just a realization that I was down at the bottom and there was nothing I could do to get out, to change my condition, nothing. And the incredible peace that came over me in that process when I finally hit bottom and that realization hit, the only thing I can say is it must be equated to finally coming to rest in the death that Jesus has provided us, his death that we have. It's happened. It's already done. We already died with him on the cross. And that incredible peace that came over me at that time, and I'm sure there, you know, there was, it was like, I believe the Lord had to take me to a place where now he could move me unrestricted, you know. And I just, I guess I equate that to just finally dying to my need to save myself, to preserve myself, to, you know, to make it happen, I guess. And so I'm praying for that same thing, maybe in a different spiritual perspective in me, to do exactly that, to clear the clutter away. I mean, listen, I'm not saying, boy, I wish I could go bankrupt. That would really do it, you know? That's not it. There's a certain bankruptcy that's got to take place within me that is at peace with the Lord. I don't know what to say, with the Lord fully and unrestrictedly functioning and walking through me. And I know it can happen. And so, Father, I'm just asking you that you would bring me to that place. And even if it's not the same way, just the same result. And I guess you might say, deliver me from myself, that I can rest in complete harmony with your Holy Spirit and release to you my all, and I give you all tonight. Put it all on the altar, Lord, and I thank you for it. I praise you that you are in control and that you reign and you rule. And I give you my heart to do exactly that in every way in me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Me too. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right, anyone else? Amen, Monroe. Yes. I don't have a clue what you're talking about, Joe. I posted something to everyone. The prayer.
I was just coming on from outside. I was just reading it, and while I was reading it, I lost connection. So I'm not complete reading you. But just before I was late, about 4 minutes ago, we're just saying about our commitment. Something. I'm not sure what this is all about.
You're talking about the.
Because I lost it before.
Are you talking about the word that Debbie had? Yeah, I can do that. I think.
Yeah, please.
What you talking about?
No, it's just before I came on a couple of minutes ago, you put something in the chat. And then I was busy reading it, and I was put my love heart on it. I just want that peace again. That's why I ask it. We can post it again for everybody, but it's just privately. I just want to read it again. Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, but I haven't done anything to you privately. It's all been to everyone. It was posted to everyone.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Oh, you want me to post it?
I want that again, but for.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Yeah. Yeah.
I just put it in the chat again. I think what Joe was saying was when he got cut off and he got knocked out of the Zoom room, he was in the middle of reading it. And then when he came back in, you don't get to see the chat. It's like you don't get to see anything that was posted before. That's why he wanted it. Be reposted, but I put it in the chat again. You see it,
thank
Joe?
You. That's what I'm asking. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay. And Joe wasn't here earlier to hear the word that Debbie had. Just FYI.
Okay.
Is that in the chat?
No, Debbie, it's not in the chat. It's a lot longer than that.
I can listen to it again.
Yeah. Go ahead, Missy.
Okay. I'll listen a minute, both of you. Thank you.
Okay, Joe.
Go ahead, Missy. I can post it in the chat.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah, that'd be great.
I was just
in the fellowship. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the fellowship chat?
Yeah.
UVM fellowship.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, baby. I
think that Joe could listen to it again. And
welcome.
That would be awesome, Michael, though, too, if you would send that out in email. Those who don't have it.
Do, 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 do. Well,
Michael.
Hey. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to ask, I came down in late, but if you're on a specific topic or can I talk about something?
Sure. Yeah, you can talk about something. What we've been talking about is distraction. Again, the Lord has warned us, as you'll see, about being distracted. And he said, this is the last warning you're going to get. So that's more or less what we've been praying about.
Oh, okay. Can I just add something now talking is, how can I explain about putting someone on the spot? I was starting to getting a flu. Well, I was getting symptoms and then my nose was running a bit and I fighting and all this. And I didn't even think about it was any reason about it. And then the Lord showed me, that was because of pride. Because I haven't been sick. I haven't been sick of anything, even flu, for quite a few years. I haven't got any flu of anything. It's just about that hiccup beginning of last year. And the Lord showed me when I confessed it, Michael, it was immediately, not much seconds, immediately when I confessed it, it was gone. It was just how awesome our Father is. I confess it now before you all because I am proud, but thinking I haven't been sick. I was thinking of myself and not that the Lord Jesus did it and not just myself. So when I confessed it, it was immediately like and gone. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Yes. Thank you, Father. Quit that. In Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Did somebody post that, that word that Debbie got?
I just did.
Okay, good. Thank you, Debbie.
Chat, for fellowship chat. Welcome.
Go ahead, Jim. Julie.
Debbie just sent me a link for a song that she wants to play. It kind of goes along with what Pat was talking about when he was conveying his heart. May I play it?
Yes, you may. You still have the deal here.
Permission. Thank you.
Yeah.
Lord, my only aim.
Rain in all of us, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Did y'all see the prayer in the chat? That's something I found the other day that I had written out and then typed it out on an index card. Should have been praying that all along, right? Praise God. Now I will. All right. There it is. That was quick. I got Johnny on the spot, or Julie on the spot. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Lord, I thank you for getting our attention once more. And you said we don't have any more time. And Lord, let that be something that really gets into our spirit and wakes us up, Lord. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I I just want to say this right. There's a parable in Mark chapter 13. You know, it's about the fig tree. Verse 28, 29, 30, and 31. Now, you know, this can be personal, or it could be happening around you, something that could be happening around you. But, you know, in reference to these verses, he's telling you that a branch is becoming tender and the leaves are coming. And it's in reference of the things that are being accomplished through this entire chapter. And it's basically the book of Revelation. But what the question I want to ask is, what would be some of those things? I'll give you an example. What would be some of those things where you know the branch is tender? And of course, you want to pray against these things. Because we know that there's people going all the way through to the end. And they're going to be taken up alive. But still on our journey, we still have to pray against these things that you know that the branch is not a winter branch, because nothing grows in the winter. And there's a reference to that further in this chapter somewhere. Pray that your escape won't be in the winter time, because nothing grows then. You know, there's no fruit on there. But he's talking about a branch that first starts out here as tender, and a branch that produces leaves. And you know, summer's nigh. And of course, the next thing, flowers would come, and then fruit, and ripen fruit, and a harvest. Because he started in winter. And that's kind of our calendar. It's not the Jewish calendar that starts in the springtime. Anyway, so what would be some of the things, and I'll give you an example. I'll give you the example that Peter prophesied to prove that this is even a thing we have to pray against. In Peter's end time prophecy, he prophesies of a time when they're going to forget about creation. Basically, in 2 Peter 3 and 5, and their mockers will be sent with their mockery, saying, where is the promise of his presence? Well, they have a different presence about them, those people, because they don't have the presence that they're supposed to have, which we know to be the Lord. Anyway, so that's a promise of the last days, that this is what they're willfully going to forget. And then it tells you the verses for creation in Genesis 1:9 and 2 Peter 3 and 5 is the same thing. It's a prophecy of a future event that's going to happen. When Peter wrote that, he prophesied it, and it's already happened. So my question is if they're willfully forgetting creation, and the verse just before it says creation, the very last word says creation, then this is something you got to pray down also. So that, and there are people who really get into this a lot, and that's all they get into though. And there's lots of other things that you have to pray down, because there's quite a few lies to that. But you know, there's other things that would show you this tender branch. Some of the things that we pray about, we pray against, you know, what is coming about with the deep state. We are privy to something here in accordance to this tender branch that's about to come. And even the distractions, personal, you know. So we pray on these items, and we expect that because we're in this wonderful tree, that we are abiding in that vine, you know, to bear the fruit in the end. to have something to take to heaven. So my question here is, you know, there are items in your life, you know, your personal life that may have been a distraction, may have been something that you went, no, this can't possibly happen. But it was something you couldn't intervene in at the time because maybe you weren't saved or something. I don't know. But the Lord, the Lord shows you these items that need to be prayed down, you know, just like in that song, we're the army for the end times. And, my question is to you is, there are things that will, in accordance, God loves justice and He hates robbery with iniquity, okay? And iniquity is the opposite. It's a fellowship with iniquity rather than righteousness, where it says in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. But what I'm trying to convey here is there are items that can rob us. There, those kids that are being trafficked, they're just kids. You know, they have to put up with something. They're being robbed. And what they're being robbed of is something that God hates. He hates robbery with iniquity. It's, I think that's Isaiah 61 and 8. And these kids are being robbed. You know they're being robbed. Even secular people don't like this kind of stuff. You know, so that's kind of sad. And you know, there are things that can rob you. You know, a lot of people were robbed when they were children because they were told millions and millions of years ago in kindergarten, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, for 5 years. And they were told that man is 3.5 million years old. Okay. So there's a robbery going on here and it's against God's word. There are items that we might consider not to be as important as others, but what would happen if you went one way on something that you didn't think that was important? You know, then it escalates, you know, to being a bigger item anyway. And this is why we need the Lord to lead us, guide us, and keep us. So it's more of a statement that I'm just trying to tell you here, that if you review some of the things that happened just in, like, for my 63 years of living, there's quite a bit. And you can see some items here that were personal for you that your branch needs to be praying things down according to these verses. Because it's speaking about things that are contrary to God, this parable. I believe that. In the parable of the vine, okay? So, God shows you these things. He's showing us these things. He's corrected us. And if we weren't corrected, we would have been wrong. And it's a very interesting parable. It's only four verses in Mark. I like Mark. He comes straight to the point when he wants to say something. And I think you know, there's things that we pray against. I don't even know the meaning of the word complacency. You're at a loss. You don't know what to do with yourself. And you know, you might go for a walk, but at least you know you're going with the Lord, okay? And the mind tends to wander, you know, and everybody gets that. But the diligence and the careful attention that we need to have should be there at all times. Because there is an opposing fivefold ministry. I believe that on the left hand there is of God, where the goats are. There is a fivefold ministry there that is opposed to the apostles, prophets, teachers, preachers, and evangelists on the right hand. And the witnesses of those things would be in that hand too, because a witness and an up and coming saved person, so a predestined one. So you might even say there's a sevenfold ministry on both sides. The other side being, of course, a mixture of people who have carnality, who want to be at the right hand, and they have a narrative of government, justice, which we have a problem with some of the things that they have passed lately, because we all know that there's only males and females, and it's even that way in nature, else we wouldn't have any more grizzly bears anyway. Or any more animals. There wouldn't be any Tweety Birds around. Anyway, and then there would be religion, you know, which, you know, there's a big item there that happened in the year 2000 that they're trying to bring them all together, you know, including some Christians, you know. So there are some things that we pray down here. You know, we got to pray these things down. We got to pray down what we know is going to happen in the 13th chapter of Revelation. And we need to pray about this woman too. Because, you know, she's going to have her seasons and half a season. But there's a word season in Romans 13:11. And now 13:10 is love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And knowing this season, and you know, love never fails. So, you know, there's a season there. And knowing is, of course, what is in the previous verse. And even in the previous verse prior to that, he starts listing some laws, some Mosaic laws, you know. So I think you need to even pray down people who are legislating Christianity. You know, they don't know the law of faith, where it says, of course, in the book of Romans, for I reckon a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There's an item there that I think is one of the worst ones, because they put you under a law. They wanted to do that to me and rob me when I was 5 years old, millions and millions of years ago. Of course, they're not going to come right out and tell me not to believe in creation, because, you know, even my mama told me it was creation, not, you know, so... They're just going to do it slightly, you know. They do it with a finesse. They do it with a, what's the, to beguile you, you know. It's a trick and a lie. So we are trying to pray against the tricks and the lies that are out there. That's and because these are the tender branch, and the leaves are going to come forth. But he's using this parable in a negative contitude as to what is in the rest of Mark. You can see the verses above it, you know. And so any of you people who think you don't have anything to pray for, I guess that might help you. That's what I'm trying to say. Even concerning yourself, you know, are we focused a lot on perhaps healing, or when we need maybe a deliverance, or maybe a focus, a better focus? It's complicated to say, you know, because I don't want people to be condemned because of this, okay? Because we all have our fight, we all have our war, we war personally, and we war corporately, and we war because of what we see going on. But the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. So there's a lot of flesh nowadays that has to be done away with. So I really liked what was said there. You know, even like the pulpits that would be in government and in justice and in religion, including some carnality there of Christianity, and in professors and teachers. You know, in English class, what was it called when you had to go up on stage? Theater? You know, there's words with that. And there's some big distraction in that, you know, because there's a lot of people who go into theater a lot, you know, personally, I can say for myself, I know what I used to do constantly before I knew the Lord. And it was, there wasn't even a Bible in the house to read. So, there is very deep darkness, very deep. And how do you portray this to that person by not showing them that you're against flesh and blood? The 6:12 scenario of Ephesians, that our fight is not against flesh and blood. You know, because they know all these things that have happened, you know, abortion, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, LGBTQ+, marijuana legalization in this country anyway, and the hard drugs where thousands of people have died, and they want to tell you there's more than male and female, and they pass all these things on that have to be prayed down in a particular way, because we know what's going to happen because of the lack, the fading, the corruption, the defiling. So we want to be undefiled, incorruptible, and unfading. So that's what Peter said. And I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just throwing out suggestions to people, because there's quite a lot to pray for, you know. People who are even saved, because they come in his name saying that they are the Christ, not a Christ, the Christ, and shall deceive many. And some of this has already transpired, and many of the items have been around for years, not just in these last 50, 60 years. So, are we going to fight to the end? Are we depending totally on the Lord? Do we think that he's going to give up on us? which could happen, you know, but we don't want that to happen, and he doesn't want it to happen. So I'm just throwing some things out that seek ye first the kingdom, his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. There's just so much. So I have to learn how to pray. Because what was it? It was Sunday. Was it Sunday? That praying the prayers of the word. I was touched quite a bit on Sunday's teaching. And it really shows you how to pray, you know. And there's quite a few things there he prayed about while he was teaching this lesson. And of course, my understanding is that perhaps over there in Tennessee, they know how to pray really well on items that I don't even know that need to be prayed for. You know, and that's all, you know, I just, you know, if that which was is that which shall be, there's no new thing under the sun, then all your reading knows that what has been and what we're going to have to go through. So pray now, you know, pray. I pray, Lord, that we know how to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord, even as some one of your disciple asked that question and you gave us the Lord's Prayer. So teach us to pray. Show us how to pray, Father. Give us time to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray. Meditation is a prayer. Praising God is a prayer. Praying is a prayer. Reading scripture is a prayer of sorts. It's a praising to God to learn from Him, to be in His presence while reading scripture and praying and praising Him and meditating on Him. Thank you, Lord, for all things. I was going to try and talk about how the Apostle Paul petitioned the Lord something for three times there, you know, but I don't want to get into that, so. And what did he say about grace? He talked to Paul. I think he talks to you and you don't even realize sometimes he's talking to you. But he does talk to you. You know, if he's going to send the Holy Spirit and remind you of everything he touches, when you need it too. So, praise God.
Amen. Okay, Missy, did you have something you'd like to share?
I'll wait till Thursday. Remind okay. me.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Vanita, Nick, is that you?
Yes.
All right.
I have a prayer request.
All right, let's hear it.
I came over this one sickness that I've had for like almost a week now, and I just want it to be gone.
Okay, I didn't understand. What was it?
You have a what?
It's like a sore throat and a stuffed okay. up nose.
Congestion.
All right. Yeah. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command that to go from him. All those symptoms leave his body right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. That spirit of infirmity is gone from Nick and all the symptoms with it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Nick. And when he wakes up in the morning, it'll be gone. You don't have to wait till in the morning. Matter of fact, you can just thank God for it right now. Amen.
Before you get home.
Yeah,
before you get home, the pain's gone. The congestion's cleared out.
Are you walking home?
No.
Oh, I didn't know if you had to walk home because Vanita wasn't going to come pick you up or what. I didn't know. All right. Listen, y'all be blessed. Yeah, I got to get this up. Y'all be blessed. Glory to God.